Advanced Level English from LinguaPress.com.
Let's listen now to the true story of an Irish family. With his bestseller Angela's Ashes, Frank McCourt made a lot of money by describing the woes of his childhood in a poor Irish family. What he wrote was exactly what people wanted to read. But was it really as bad as that? Not necessarily, as Leanne Meyer found out by talking to a remarkable family in Waterford.
The first thing you notice is the fire. And then you realise that this has more to do with the family than the outside temperature. Their father used to stoke the fire each morning to warm them up before school. And this was also where he would toast the bread, which would blacken their faces and taste like charcoal. Sadly, their father died a year ago. But as we speak, Mammy, at 65, is walking to town to buy the goodies her boys need for the weekend. What makes their mother remarkable is that she bore six boys, four of whom still live at home, along with 12 girls, two of whom are also still at home. Yes, Mammy was pregnant for 18 years of her life, and almost produced a child a year. All the babies arrived naturally, with the smallest weighing a good 7 pounds, and Owen, the biggest, registering a whopping 13 pounds on the scales. After the birth of Susie, the youngest, however, Mammy moved out of the marital bed and into the girls' room. As committed Catholics who ensured that their family went to confession every Saturday and Mass each Sunday, this was the right and only way. All 18 children still live in Waterford, Ireland. Not one child has been lost. 12 of them have had their own families, making Mammy a grandmother 48 times over, with three great-grandchildren as well. One daughter-in-law claimed that she would break Mammy's record. Not surprisingly, she gave up after the birth of her 10th child. Mammy, on the other hand, revelled in raising her brood with not even the assistance of a disposable nappy. Meals were cooked in a pot big enough to bath a baby in, using all four plates on the cooker. The 12 girls shared a room and the six boys shared another. Each room had a double bed, where, on average, six kids slept. If you were small enough, you slept in the chest of drawers, which has only recently been sold. Otherwise, you had to find your own spot somewhere between the bed and the chest. When it came to personal hygiene, you just made sure that you got into the bath or sink, depending on your size, first. Understanding the scale of what it means to have 20 people in the house had to lead to the question, how did your father afford it? This stops the conversation immediately. Daddy was a block layer, a builder, which was a very good job in those days. They truly believed that they were blessed, that they did not want for anything. Yet they tell stories that fellow countrymen have written books about, lamenting the conditions in which they grew up. Firstly, there was the food. They reminisce about how their father used to make the most delicious chicken soup, and how all that changed when Carol found the rabbit carcasses in the shed. Their father also later admitted to using sweetbreads when no rabbit could be found. You know, testicles form part of sweetbreads. Then gales of laughter are the only response to what some would consider a gourmet horror. Then there had to be the pig's head. These girls, however, are quite practical about how pig's tongue really tastes like corned beef, and then proceed to tease Susie because their father used to give her cooked pig's tails to suck on as a baby, and she apparently loved it. Even in midwinter, when building work was scarce and there often wasn't enough money for electricity, they spent time in the upstairs room telling ghost stories, which in retrospect they point out is quite silly, as they would all be terrified and could not switch the lights on. When sleep came, there was always a fight about who would sleep in the middle, as this was the warmest place to be. The only thing the children say they missed while growing up was being Mammy or Daddy's pet. There was never space for one child to be treated differently from another. But that, no doubt, was actually the key to this abundant family's remarkable coherence. All this joy in living may sound the stuff of fairy tales, but this is the story of a real family that is solidly anchored in reality with moments of drama and pain. Often the children missed out on school trips as there was not enough money to pay for the outing. In fact, daughter Carol was once so keen to go on a trip that she encouraged her teacher to come and speak to her parents. Proud Mammy told the teacher that Carol was ill and would not be able to attend. But unfortunately for Mammy, Carol was listening upstairs and shouted down that she was not sick. She went on that trip and still remembers it as one of the best days of my life. Susie is still recovering from the loss of her fiancé at sea. Carol can recall the horrors of the convent she was sent to when, unmarried, she announced that she was expecting a baby. Yet it seems that it is all a question of attitude and approach to life. In this family, it was all a matter of love and no room for self-indulgence and self-encompassing privacy. All you need is love.